You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. So come to the site now, check out all the stuff we have coming out of Week 14, heading into Week 15, the updated playoff picture. We've got our picks straight up and against the spread in full swing that you can check out, as well as our early fantasy football positional rankings. I'll have the start, sit, column, the decider up later on Tuesday as well. This is Pickup Tuesday here on Locked On Fantasy Football. That means we focus on the waiver wire here. It's guys that can help us both in the short term. Now they're all in the short term, but also longer term over now 3 weeks left in the regular season here of fantasy football in 2019. We're deep into the playoffs now. Everyone's got to be in the playoffs unless you're playing into week 17. Anyway, 3 weeks that are going to determine championships here for most of y'all playing in any kind of format here, 10, 12, 14 teamers. Here we go to decide that. It's the most wonderful time of the year that isn't the holiday season. So we're excited and we'll dive in. A lot of good stuff on the waiver wire, actually, that has emerged late. So if you need a little bit more help for your championship lineups or semifinal lineups, we can certainly help you with that this week, and with an eye ahead to also week 16 for the championship for most leagues. Now, let's first take care of business, put a bow on week 14, give you the takeaways you need to know from the Eagles-Giants game. 23-17 is the final here. The Eagles need overtime to take on the Giants. They trailed 70-3 at halftime, so had to make up the two-touchdown deficit. They do that, win by a score here with three scores there, one in the third quarter, one in the fourth quarter, one in overtime to take down the Giants. So let's break down first what we saw from the Eagles. Another great game from Carson Wentz in terms of fantasy, 325 and 2 there. He did lose a fumble, unfortunately. But overall, you look at Wentz, he's come through with two of his best games in a long time. Back-to-back 300-yard games. Part of it is that the Eagles' defense has gone back to stinking. They also are not running all that effectively. They did end up with 118 yards, but only 3.7 yards per carry on 32. Miles Sanders really was bottled up here for most of the game. He ends up with 19 touches for 69 yards. So certainly disappointing there with Sanders. With Boston Scott, all of a sudden the hot hand taking over the backfield. He had 10 carries for 59, was exploding in this up-tempo offense. And 6 for 69 as well, receiving. So big game for Boston Scott that no one saw coming. Thought that Miles Sanders would have that type of game, but he was slowed down here. And they went with the guy that could give them a spark, and Scott certainly provided that. So he certainly is going to have some appeal. We'll talk a little bit about him on the waiver wire segment here when we get to running backs here as we go position by position. Elsewhere, I mean, the wide receivers are a mess. Alshon Jeffrey got hurt. Hurt his foot before he could make a catch in this one. So he put up a big zero in what could have been a great matchup. It could have been a lot easier for the Eagles. They also didn't have Nelson Agholor active for this game. So they were down to Greg Ward and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside at wide receiver. It was pretty messy, as you could see. But that all played into the hands of Zach Ertz here, who had a big first half. He had a bigger second half. 9 catches, 91 yards. 13 targets and the two scores, the tying score and the go-ahead score here for Ertz. So we've been waiting for Ertz to explode like this, but maybe it took just to realize that he's their best receiver standing. I mean, he basically had to play a wide-out tight end hybrid role in this game, and you saw the production come through old-school Wentz to Ertz there. We've seen this before when they've been guys connecting mainly and out of necessity. He gets born again. Dallas Goedert was also involved, but only 3 catches for 41-6. So they've been waiting for a Darren Sproles-like element because they don't have that downfield element like DeSean Jackson, especially down receivers. So Boston Scott had to be that with Sanders not living up to it. So we'll see about Jordan Howard if he can return against the Redskins. That would complicate the backfield a little bit, but you can't just deny what Scott brought to this offense, really brought it to life and allowed the Eagles to win this game instead of losing and really sputtering with their playoff hopes here with a loss in this game. Now, on the other side of things, Eli Manning started. He looked pretty good. He connected very well with Darius Slayton, 203 yards, two touchdowns, 154 of that. Went to Slayton in the first half, had eight targets. They went away from that in the second half. The Eagles played a little bit better zone, didn't blitz him as aggressively. So Slayton, again, has a lot of appeal. Sterling Shepard barely used here to Golden Tate against the secondary. They combined for five catches for 39, so not much there. Saquon Barkley, this is a mysterious thing. He had three catches for only 1 yard. I don't know how this is possible, but his role diminishing in the passing game has been a big reason why he's not lived up anything close to his number one expectations. He's also not getting in the end zone. 17 for 66 for him, only 3.9 yards per carry. So he ends up with only 67 yards from scrimmage on 20 touches. So off year for Saquon, not very good here. And again, highly disappointing if you took him number one overall. Good news is they get the Dolphins next week. So if you've somehow survived the Barkley and you get into week 16, maybe he has a shot to do something against the Dolphins, but who knows at this point the way he's being used for Pat Shurmur. But at least a little bit of promise there. And again, Darius Slayton looks like a keeper. He's going to be a hot draft pick next week or next year, and a hot waiver pickup this week as well as a rookie. So, I mean, if you look at a lot of rookie receivers doing some good work, but some of them took a while to emerge. Slayton had a little bit of a spike in midseason. He's been a little quiet of late. But, again, he's legitimate here and starring for the Giants in garbage time, which they're going to have a lot with their defense stinking and playing some bad defenses here to close out the season, including the Dolphins next week. All right, so there's a look at that game. Now, we'll focus on the streaming quarterbacks. So you can look at Eli Manning. That's not a bad place to start in that matchup, as well as Ryan Fitzpatrick. And again, Fitzpatrick disappointed, but part of it is that Devontae Parker went down in that game against the Jets, really hurt his target share. They didn't have many guys, and Albert Wilson also went down. So a little bit of that. We'll see if Devontae Parker returns. If not, I would say that Eli has a little bit more better appeal, assuming that you're looking at Daniel Jones missing another game with that ankle injury there. So at home against the Dolphins, if you did this to the Eagles and was a decent streamer with the 202, you think Eli can do about the same, maybe even a little better against the Dolphins there in week 15. So, I mean, that's where the pivot shifts. If Parker is definitely missing this game, that's a big loss because he was so big to the production of Fitzpatrick here of late. Now, elsewhere, you look at Gardner Minshew. Doesn't have DJ Chark, probably. We'll talk about that option at wide receiver here, but they are playing the Raiders. The Raiders stink against the pass. They stink against everything right now. So Leonard Fournette could open things up nicely. They are playing the black hole, so a little tough to trust a rookie making a long road trip, but the Jaguars are desperate. We know they're going to be playing from behind because their defense is going to let a lot of things happen for the Raiders. So that said, you have to look at Gardner Minshew, again, as a potential streaming off. And Kyle Allen hasn't played well in reality. He's turning over the ball, but he's running, getting the ball in the end zone that way. He's throwing to his main guys. They do get the Seahawks this week. Could be a lot more sacks, but the Seahawks do give up some points there. Garbage production with the running. And their secondary's got one very good player in Shaquille Griffin, but the rest can be exploited. Tight end, he isn't afraid to throw to Ian Thomas with Greg Olsen out, so that's a good spot again for that. Allen running, as I mentioned, as well as Moore and Samuel getting something done here. As the Seahawks figured to have a big lead and play with that in Carolina, and Allen has that appeal this week. Now, Mitchell Trubisky just playing well. Legs, arm, produced big games the past 2 weeks. Granted, they were against the Lions and Cowboys, two reeling defenses, but Packers on the road could be a little different story, but just the way Trubisky's playing, they're letting him run a little bit. Running is a lot of key to fantasy football production as quarterbacks. That's been a big part of his game, getting the ball out quickly. The matchups can be favorable away from Jaire Alexander if he gets the ball out quickly against the pass rush. So there's some potential to keep it up here against the Packers in a very critical game for both teams. Now, if you're getting crazy and you want to look at a rookie, people are going to be thinking about Drew Locke against the Chiefs because it looks like the Chiefs are a weak defense. But keep in mind, the Chiefs have become very effective against the pass now. Their trouble is against the run. They had a monster game. I know it was Joe Flacco in a different circumstance in Denver in the first meeting in primetime. But the Chiefs' defense in general is playing very well. You saw what they did to the Patriots last week. Part of it was the Patriots' inefficiency. But keep in mind, this is an inexperienced quarterback playing in a hostile environment against a team with a lot of momentum right now in the Chiefs. So I would avoid Drew Locke here. And he's also possibly without Noah Fant in this game, who's a big part of his receiving production in that game. So it could be a lot tougher here. And also not facing a burnable defense as much. I mean, he struggled in that first game once the Chargers kind of locked down and figured him out. A lot more film on him in the last 2 weeks. Zone defense, bend, don't break. Drew Locke aggressively throwing the ball downfield. That could lead to some mistakes and not enough production. So Chiefs defense, again, this is a streamer that you're looking at because of that. We'll talk about them a little bit more. David Blau, however, has more appeal to me as the rookie quarterback streamer. The undrafted kid from Purdue is now back at home against the Buccaneers, their pitiful secondary. He's got the talented receivers there, Marvin Jones, Kenny Galladay, Danny Amendola, if he needs them as well. This team won't be able to run well on the Bucs. The Bucs will have a big lead. So David Blau, if you're doing sneaky streaming, I look at him over Drew Locke, certainly this week. So we'll get to running backs and wide receivers in our next segment. We'll also get to tight ends and defense before the show is over. But first, I got to tell you about Casper. The original Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foams for a quality sleep surface with the right amounts of both sink and bounce. Get $100 toward select mattresses by visiting casper.com/lockedon, LockedNFL, that's LockedNFL, and use LockedNFL at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. If you can't visit Casper right now, you can find this and all other offers from Locked On sponsors at lockedonpodcast.com/offers. Again, it's casper.com/LockedNFL using LockedNFL at checkout. We'll be right back here to look at running backs and wide receivers on the Week 15 waiver wire. All right, let's turn our attention to running back here. Now, this was a late scratch. It was tough to recommend on waivers. It was a slow-developing injury with Josh Jacobs in the shoulder. We found out more and more. We were all on Jalen Richard maybe as a pickup later in the week because he's the guy that they've used as a change of pace. But then all of a sudden, DeAndre Washington dominates the touches there. Early downs, he's the guy that they used on receiving situations. The blowout, 42-21 against the Titans. So he was very effective, scored a touchdown, got good volume. So he's the guy to own here in a good matchup at home against the Jaguars here this week. So we've been waiting for one of these injuries to really bring us back in fantasy value. Now we've been burned in the past with Brian Hill and Jonathan Williams, who at least got one good game out of it. So beware of that. And if Jacobs can return, there's a chance they could shut him down. He's a rookie, important to their future. And keep all that in mind. But given what we saw last week, he ran well. He is definitely worth targeting first at running back this week. Now, Patrick Laird, we want to see what he did with the backfield all to himself. It was not much of Myles Gaskin there. They do get the Giants this week. The Giants did give up a lot of receiving production to running back there in Boston Scott. So Laird, that lines up very well in this matchup. A lot of check downs. You figure extension of the running game with the short passing game, especially with Parker out this week. Now, Chris Thompson is a little bit of sneaky appeal here, receiving back for the Redskins. They do get a matchup against the Eagles this week, so could need to throw a little bit more there with Darius Geis out. So that part is gone. He was pretty active, PPR leagues only. But Chris Thompson certainly has some appeal because you can't really run up straight on the Eagles, so that diminishes Adrian Peterson's value this week. Now, Richard, you can look behind Washington. Could be a game script there that calls for him, but it's really hard to trust. I would still stick with Washington as the preferred Raider. Now, Peyton Barber, you can take a chance on, but they are playing the Lions this week, so you can keep that in mind that you can do a lot of damage on the ground against the Lions as well as throw on them. So something to look at there. Boston Scott, we mentioned, will he be the hot hand? Will he still be factored in over the rookie they like, Miles Sanders, there against the Redskins? Redskins were pretty good against Christian McCaffrey, but struggled against Aaron Jones last week. So there's that little bit of appeal there. And Scott is that Sproles role for the Eagles right now at the moment. In fact, the Saints once looked at him as a replacement for Sproles. So he's got that kind of makeup here. But again, Howard returning would make it a little cloudy. And we'll have to see what they feel about Sanders going forward, because there's no injury issues with Sanders there to worry about. And he still figures to be the lead back in this matchup against the Redskins. Now we turn to wide receiver. This is just a cavalcade of stars here that you can look at. A.J. Brown definitely has the most appeal here. Very under-owned. Big game against the Raiders. He's locked in with one Ryan Tannehill. They get the easy matchup against the Texans this week. So great spot for A.J. Brown to keep producing downfield as a big-time receiver and really their number one emerging. Darius Slayton, we mentioned, loved what he did against the Eagles. Can get that done against the Dolphins. You look at Zach Pascal, certainly him and Marcus Johnson, more of the big play threat in this offense for the Colts, with T.Y. Hilton looking less and less likely to play with each passing week. Paris Campbell out. Pascal certainly having a lot of appeal there this week against the Saints. Anthony Miller has been so integral to what the Bears want to do offensively. Their passing using the slot could maybe get away from the tougher matchups against the Packers this week. And it looks good for some value down the line here, closing with the Chiefs and Vikings. So Anthony Miller, again, PPR, deeper leagues, you can go there. Now, Chris Conley certainly has a ton of appeal, too. We're waiting on the injury to DJ Chark, but he's going to step up, be basically their number one outside receiver. Great matchup against the Raiders this week, so good plug and play there. Breshad Perriman also steps in to a good spot, with Mike Evans having a hamstring issue and being out. They're playing the Lions this week, so fast track Ford Field. Remember, his father played there, Brett Perriman, for a long time. So keep that in mind, that he's a guy that is used to playing in fast tracks and playing well here. So Perriman, a guy that I'm definitely interested in that game, basically replacing what you were getting from Evans on the outside, at least in terms of the role there for the Buccaneers, and great matchup against the Lions. You look at Justin Gage, they're going to have to use him now that we're out of chances here for Calvin Ridley. He goes down for the season with an abdominal injury, so they need a Russell Gage here for sure, not Justin Gage or Justin Hardy. This is Russell Gage, so they will use him a little bit more here to produce there with this situation developing behind Julio Jones. We'll watch out for Zacchaeus and Christian Blake and those type of players, but Gage is the way I'm going there. And then you look at Isaiah Ford versus Allen Hurns, who can be a little bit more productive. I think Allen Hurns a little bit more trustworthy. Ford did have a nice pop-up game with Devontae Parker and Albert Wilson exiting that game against the Jets, but Hurns is the guy I trust a little bit more because he's the veteran presence there for Ryan Fitzpatrick. So that's what you look at there at running back and wide receiver on the waiver wire. Plenty of help at wide receiver, however you slice it. I mean, you could look at on the other side of Pascal. You could look at Marcus Johnson. You could look at the step up there for Keelan Cole. If Conley moves up a spot there, Cole maybe getting a shot in the Conley role. You look at the Perryman. Maybe you'll get Justin Watson. So many possibilities that pop up here with the late season injury attrition. But certainly A.J. Brown and Darius Slayton stand out, the two very talented rookies there that I can't wait to see more of here going forward, and should be very coveted options in your fantasy football draft in 2020. We still have tight ends and defenses to talk about on the waiver wire, but first I got to tell you about Spotify Wrapped. If you're a Spotify listener and use Spotify Wrapped to show us your top Locked On podcast for the year, take a screenshot and tag us at Locked On Live on Twitter, and we will share and retweet there for you. We'll be right back to look at the tight ends and defenses to close Pickup Tuesday. All right, let's pick up where we left off here with our waiver wire, and it's a tight end. And the H's have it this week, that's right. A lot of H players. We'll start with O.J. Howard. Now, the injury to Mike Evans also opening things up for O.J. Howard. He's actually had two good, solid games in a row coming out of the doghouse slowly for Bruce Arians. He could go in at any time, but the matchup is really good against the Lions this week. So Lions has given up everything to everybody at this point. So, again, Howard, a little bit of Cameron Brake behind him, but he's still the man that they trust most. Big size advantage there that he can get downfield and make those plays that Mike Evans did. So Perryman has a little bit of feel as that big play threat, but Howard probably getting the biggest bump here in the usage in their offense for what we presume is a healthy James Winston. He seemed to be okay with the right thumb and should be good to go for this game for the Lions. Now, Tyler Higbee, two straight smash games in a row out of nowhere. Well, not totally out of nowhere. Brandon Cooks is not fully healthy. Josh Reynolds is being faded in the offense. You got no Gerald Everett, missing another game. Higbee has just been pretty critical to this offense. It's changed the way it's approached. He's been always a good blocker. So that gives them a few options in the passing game when they've gone to using Higbee and playing off Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp. He's getting open well. Two big games in a row. I mean, this has just been huge. When we've been waiting for someone like this, a tight end, he comes through here in the fantasy playoffs. And with Higbee, I mean, you look at this matchup this week against the Cowboys, pretty awful against the tight end. We know that. They've had their issues all year with Jeff Heath when he's been healthy. Now he's got shoulder injuries that are concerned, so he might need to miss another game. So Higbee in another good spot. Jeff Heirman steps in there with Noah Fant hurting. The Chiefs can be burned at linebacker. They do have some good safeties there, but again, there seemed to be some trust between Drew Lock and Heirman with Fant out, so you can reach there. Ian Thomas certainly having a lot of appeal. The Seahawks are pretty vulnerable against the tight end. We saw that with what Higbee did. Thomas served seamlessly with Greg Olsen out, as we expected. We recommended him last week. He came through big time. Kyle Allen trusts him. He's going to throw shorter. And the matchup again against the Seahawks is very good. David Njoku being involved, back healthy from the wrist injury. They shut down their other tight ends here to play him. Play the Cardinals this week. We'll see how they get him involved again. But Cardinals pretty much can be burned all over the field. We know that tight ends burn them all the time. Vance McDonald failed to do that, but he also got concussed and didn't stay in the game in the second half to get his opportunity. So maybe Njoku can take advantage of that. And Hayden Hurst, we'll have to watch about Mark Andrews. He's got the knee-thigh contusion. Can he go? If not, we know the Jets could be without Jamal Adams again. Short week turnaround. Now that could help in the middle of the field there with Lamar Jackson. So Hayden Hurst, I know Dink Boyle there also producing. It's hard to trust the tight ends by committee because Mark Andrews himself is a boomer bust guy. But Hurst did make a big play last week. He is the first-round pick in Lamar Jackson's class ahead of Andrews was taken. So keep that in mind. That big play could inspire him to a few more things if Andrews is banged up or limited. Can't play this week. Now, we mentioned we do like the Chiefs as a streaming defense. Yeah, I think Drew Lock is going to cool off. I just like this matchup for the Chiefs, the way the Chiefs defense is playing right now. A lot of ball hawks in that secondary. This to me is the toughest matchup so far for Lock. I know they played the Chargers, but that game was at home. They played the Texans against a really bad secondary, but this is a very underrated secondary for the Chiefs. You're going to have to run on them, and the game script could put them in bad situations with the defense teeing off there against Drew Lock. So I like them still this week. Even though Lock has played very well and really made the Texans a bad play last week. Now, the Seahawks, looking at them, they get the Panthers on the road, should be in for some sacks, potential turnovers against Kyle Allen. You look at the Giants at home against the Dolphins. You can look on the other side, Dolphins and Giants, but trust a team that's playing a little bit better at home defensively. Giants were actually pretty good against the Eagles for most part before things fell apart. Speaking of the Eagles, you can look at them again. They're tough to trust, but they are playing the Redskins and Dwayne Haskins, so maybe a big play there. And the Browns, I know they don't get a lot of pressure on the quarterback. That's a concern against Kyler Murray. Bit of hit or miss, but they do get a lot of sacks. Arizona does there. So if you're in a league where you can get some turnovers, and we saw Murray have some difficulty with that. We also saw the Cardinals special teams having some issues there as well, giving a big touchdown to Deontay Johnson. So that's what you can look at with the Browns this week. So there's a few streaming teams out there that you can certainly look at to help your chances here in week number 15. So there you have it. There's a look at all the targets that you should consider on the waiver wire or with your free agent acquisition budget here, whatever's left of it for week 15. I'm sure we'll have some more viable options here in week 16, week 17, but you want to always keep looking to add, improve your team, get some depth just in case there's injuries that pop up, and you never know. So even if you don't necessarily need players, think about it because they could actually end up being big performers for you if necessary. And we've seen with injury attrition, it doesn't hurt to have a little extra depth this time of year. So always looking to improve and add on the waiver wire and subtract people that are going to have no use of you for you on the roster. Thanks so much for listening to Locked On Fantasy Football Pickup Tuesday. We'll come back tomorrow with our first of two matchup shows, Matchup Wednesday, to start breaking down all the games on the Week 15 schedule. This is Vinny Iyer. We'll see you next time.